Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinckney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. The struggle that has taken place in recent years in Benton Harbor is a case in point, one that holds on numerous lessons for the American people. The fight in Benton Harbor is a war. This is not a conflict. This is the real deal. The problem is we're just not fighting. The problem is whether America will have prosperity or democracy or live in poverty under the heels of open corporate rule. This is Martin Luther King week. And we want to send out a happy, happy birthday to him. A heavenly birthday. Because if there's anybody that's up in heaven, it's got to be him. You see, I can't put you in heaven, nor can I put you in hell. I can't do it. You see, but the white man has a formula for keeping black folks as slaves, keeping them fighting among themselves. But here's the problem. There's 50 million black folks in this country. Can you imagine? It's just 25 million got together. And we know that there's a lot of sellouts here. We know that. We know who they are. But yet and still, we applaud them. We allow them to come into our tent. We cannot allow them to come in. If you a barber and you cutting a sellout hair, then you become a sellout. You see? That's how it is. If you are a grocery store owner and you selling food or whatever it is to a sellout, then you become a sellout. See, the way to deal with a sellout, you cut him off completely. You kick him out of the community. Let him know that we know who you are. There's nothing worse in this world at this time than a sellout. Nothing. We've been fighting for over 400 years to be free. And we're still not free. We're still not free. They got us coming and going. You can't even go to the courthouse. You can't do it. We have the worst for black folks court system in the world. You can't even go to the bank. You can't go to the bank and get a loan. They got us surrounded. Martin Luther King. Now he's everybody's hero. But right before the last 2 years of his life, he was one of the most hated individuals in the world. And I know that feel down here. They hated me. They still hate me. But the difference between me and Martin Luther King, I don't care. I don't want you to like me. That means that you won't call me. You don't need to like me. Where do these people come from? Where do these people come from? And black people sit around here crying that they ain't got this thing. You ain't got it because of you. Just go look in the mirror. And I said, the white man has a formula for keeping black folks in slavery. Keep them fighting among themselves. They don't know no better. We're in a war here. And black people are using their bullets up on themselves, on each other. You see, we need to go to these corporations and tell them. We need to go to that courthouse and deal with this system. We need to go to the governor and tell them God sent us by. You're not treating black folks right. Hell would be your home. And here's the thing. I can't put nobody in heaven. I can't put you in hell. If you go to hell, it ain't nobody's fault but your own. You see, And always remember, a nation ran by bankers would never be out of debt. A nation owned by weapons manufacturers would never know peace. A nation that allowed a small group of its citizens to write the laws would never know justice. If these elements are owned, the media would never know the truth. And here we are. You know, think about Martin Luther King and think of how much they hated him. Think about how much they hated Martin Luther King. The minister, I remember when he came to Chicago. All the ministers got together, went to the Sun-Times in the Chicago Tribune newspaper, and told them that Martin Luther King was a devil from hell, and he should go back to hell. These are men of God. These are men of God. I could imagine here in Benton Harbor, Martin Luther King wanted to come here. These Negroes were in, they probably would have shot him. They probably would have assassinated him so they could please the white devil. Can you imagine that? All the ministers that lived, well, not all of them, most of them that lived in Chicago, got together and told King, his secretary and everybody else, that they didn't want him to come because he was a devil from hell. It made the front page of the Chicago Tribune and the Chicago Sun-Times, two of the biggest newspapers there. They say he was a devil from hell. But who stepped to the plate? The women. One of the biggest pastors by name in the city of Chicago, wife, took the lead and welcomed Martin Luther King to the city of Chicago. They fixed dinner for him. They laid it out for him. And they was mad because these men didn't have God in them at all. You see, Martin Luther King came to the west side of Chicago. And I had the pleasure to go down and see him. I remember my dad told us, me and two of my brothers, that we was not going to school today because Martin Luther King is coming to Chicago on Pulaski and Arlington. We lived on Pulaski and Lexington. But he came to a vacant lot that could hold all the people on Pulaski and Arlington. And my dad and two of my brothers, I was so excited I didn't know what to do. That was not only just being out of school, but also getting the chance to see Martin Luther King. And even at that time, I remember my dad saying, you know, he's one of the most hated people in the whole wide world. And I couldn't figure out why they hated him so much. But now I understand. You see, they hate to see black people. Black people hate to see black people doing things and being successful. They do. They hate to see black people doing so. Other black people hate to see black people doing things and being successful. I remember all the cases. Every time they sent me to prison, we won. These Negroes didn't say a mumbling word. I remember when I quoted Deuteronomy 28, starting with the 15th verse, and not one minister here in the city of Benton Harbor, not one stood up for Jesus. Not me. You claim that you're a man of God, but you're not standing up for God's word. Not one single minister in the city of Benton Harbor stood up and said, well, I'm standing up for God's word. Not one. Not one single minister. Not one. Not one single minister stood up and said that I'm standing up for God's word. Not one. I remember when Minister Farrakhan came to this church, progressive, here in Benton Harbor. And these ministers thought that when Farrakhan come, they was going to taunt him. You see, one of the things that they didn't realize about Minister Farrakhan, I love him. I love the work he do. But you can't out-preach him, especially about the Bible. This one guy came. He thought that he was going to body slam the minister. Minister Louis Farrakhan whooped on him for about 20 minutes. When he got out there, he ran through there with his tail between his legs. It was ugly. It was ugly. But we're living in a time where things have to change. We can no longer sit back and say, you know, it's been 400 years, and this is all the progress we have made in 400 years, and we're celebrating? What is wrong with us? This is all the progress we have made. We got so many, and here's the thing. There's very few black people you could trust. Very few. It didn't used to be like that. You could trust each other. There's not very many black folks right now that you could trust. That's why I don't want them to like me. I do not want you to like me. Don't like me. And that means don't call me. That's what that means. But it's unfortunate. But here we are. See, we're not in the promised land as of yet. It don't mean we will not get there. It do not mean that we will not get to the promised land. But we're not there yet. You know, you got to understand, cannot be satisfied as long as Black folks has to endure the unspeakable horror of police brutality. We can never be satisfied as long as our children are stripped of their selfhood and robbed of their dignity. We cannot as long as we have a court system that is so corrupt that is scary. We cannot be satisfied because this is how we think right now. Black folks, get off your butt. This is all we have achieved in 400 years. It's going to take at least another 400 years just to level the playing field around here. They got all the good jobs. All the good jobs belongs to them. You might have one or two in there somewhere, but all the good jobs. They done stole all the money. They done stole billions of dollars from the Pentagon. Black folks ain't going to say nothing. You go steal a pack of gum, you go into prison. What kind of world do we live in? What kind of world do we live in that we have to go through this? What kind of world do we live in? We face a dangerous fragmentation as a society in part because of racism. But we have to change. When we have a oppressive mentality, when your ego becomes more important than the cause, you have an oppressive mentality. That's what I call it. Any time that your ego gets so big that you can't stand up and do anything, then you're just as bad as the oppressor. And the sad part, we are surrounded by this happy, happy Martin Luther King Day. And just remember, Martin Luther King was not loved, not by black folks either. Black folks hated Martin Luther King. Read the book, The Death of a King, by Travis Smiley. That book had me in tears. I could not believe all the things that he had done, everything that he sacrificed, and black people hated him, especially ministers who called themselves, ain't no ministers. They just somebody, all they doing is going collecting money. That's all it is. Collecting money from our people, that's what it is. They ain't no ministers, they ain't no men of God. I mean, how could someone I mean, God give you that spirit to know. Here you was talking about he's a devil from hell. All the hell he done went through. Wow. Well, let me go ahead and move on. I'm going to bring in my good friend Jesse. Let Jesse talk a little bit because I know he got something. He's a targeted individual. He's been targeted. But I want him to say, give him 7-8 minutes so he can tell us about himself on Martin Luther King celebration. Jesse, talk to me.
Thank you. Thank you, brother. Thank you for what you're doing, and thank you for allowing me to be here. And this is a open request to the U.S. Attorney General, Merrick Garland. Judge Garland, I respectfully request your office to appoint an independent special counsel to investigate and prosecute those who are responsible for provoking mass shootings on the ground that you have conflict of interest to investigate and bring to justice the perpetrators of these acts of domestic terrorism. I have been homebound for more than 10 years with a life-threatening electrosensitivity, which was caused and aggravated by the same microwaves and radiation surveillance reaching our children at school. Evidence on the federal court in Grand Rapids, Michigan, prove that I became a victim of government-sponsored hate group bullying and of radiation surveillance and retaliation for denouncing how a law school in Lansing committed fraud of millions of dollars of federal funds while giving law degrees to those affiliated to government agencies, including the FBI and the CIA. The same evidence proved that the retaliatory radiation surveillance caused me a life-threatening electrosensitivity. Judge Garland, for more than 7 years, the deep state media concealed that two federal judges admitted in writing and on the record, among other crimes, their collusion with you and other, including federal and state agents, prosecutors, and members of the judiciary on the fraud on the courts to conceal the harm caused on children by the microwave radiation school, to conceal the harm caused by radiation surveillance, and to conceal that government-sponsored hate group bullying, which includes school officials, teachers, students, and even pastors, are provoking children, the mentally disabled, and others to commit mass shootings and other acts of terrorism to justify, under the fabricated excuses of national security, the massive and harmful military-grade satellite radiation surveillance of schools and even homes, and to benefit the deep state wireless cartels. Judge Garland, you are fully aware that for many years, the Secret Service, the FBI, and the Department of Homeland Security have the evidence to prosecute and bring to justice those who are provoking the mass shootings and other acts of domestic terrorism. Judge Garland, a specific, concrete, and undisputed evidence on the federal record proves your fraud on your court to conceal that government-sponsored hate group bullying and directed radiation surveillance are being used to maim and torture to death children, those who denounce government corruption, and other innocent, defenseless, and unsuspecting victims at school and even in the privacy of their home, and again, to benefit the deep state wireless cartels, as detailed on the emergency request to Congress to protect our children posted on the case law section of Jay Mendoza at wirelesswatchblog.org, wirelesswatchblog.org. Judge Garland, a special prosecutor is also necessary to bring to justice the governor of Texas, Greg Abbott, the director of the Texas Rangers, Steve McCraw, the FBI special agents in charge, and the federal agents, prosecutors, and members of the judiciary that committed fraud on the courts to protect those responsible for provoking these acts of terrorism. Judge Garland, because of your treasonous collusion with the deep state cartels, because of the farcical investigations, prosecutions, and trials of these acts of terrorism, and because there is no authority at the federal, state, or local level to protect our children from this depravity, cowardice, and degradation, I respectfully request your office to appoint independent counsel to bring to justice those responsible for these atrocities. Judge Garland, unless you appoint a special prosecutor the crimes against our children and against other innocent, defenseless, and unsuspecting victims are bound to continue unaddressed, undeterred, and with impunity on your watch and on your responsibility. Judge Garland, you know that I'm a law-abiding citizen that does not believe in violence or anything illegal. As a parent, and to protect my children and the children of many, I have the right to make this request to you. Your prompt response to this request can prevent immense pain and suffering and can save children's lives. I am willing to testify under penalty of perjury before any tribunal to the facts that are of my personal knowledge and stated herein by phone held permitting. Respectfully, Judge Garland, Jesus Mendoza. Thank you, sir, for allowing me to be here today, Reverend Pinckney.
Absolutely. You know, let me say this, Jesse, that you know, that is good. You know, one of the things, I wonder how would Martin Luther King handle this? He was the type of guy that would go out and try to seek help for you, you know, because he understood what the governor would do. See, a lot of people don't understand what the governor would do anything. They see, everybody is expendable, Jesse. Everybody. I don't care who you are, even the president, he's expendable. Every single person in this world is expendable, Jesse. But the problem is the people don't see it. See, black folks have been living, that they've been over 400 years in this country, and this is all the progress we have made. That's because we have so many people that are willing to sell their soul to the devil and in order to hold the rest of the race down. That's what we're fighting today. And can you imagine I know the position you're in because it's over a million people that has been targeted by this government. There's over a million people right now, Jesse, that's being targeted. You know, by microwave. What's that other thing they use other than microwave? They use other things too. What is it?
Well, basically, there's the technology, and we have the evidence, and it is on the record. You know, federal judges committed fraud on their courts to conceal that technology beyond the imagination of most people are being used to monitor and record even the most intimate conversations and activities and any vehicle and even inside homes. And that is something that destroys our democracy, our constitutional republic, and everything that we value the most. Most people are totally in the dark. They don't know that this technology is also being used to maim and torture to death children and other innocent, defenseless, and unsuspecting victims, and even on the privacy of their homes. The evidence on the record, I'm not dealing with allegations. It is a specific, concrete, and undisputed how federal judges committed fraud, falsification of documents. Not only that, but fabricated testimony to conceal what I'm sharing with you today. And it is also there on the emergency request to Congress to protect our children. Please share this information because most people don't have any clue about what is really happening to us.
Absolutely. And you know one thing, Jesse? Most people, you know, would think that, you know, a person talking on this level have a mental problem. But I'm here to testify that, you know, this stuff is real. This stuff is what is going on today. When they have no more use for you, they usually eliminate you. So it's like a government inside the government that's doing this, and it's very, very unfortunate, Jesse, that stuff like this happened. And I remember over 10 years ago, I took a group of people to Washington, D.C., which was huge. I took, you know, it probably was maybe 75 to 100 of us that I met, and we was going to talk to the House members. It was so many that they wouldn't let us go see because they thought that this could not be true, that you have this many people that's being targeted by the government, you see, or government, you know. And I think when we stepped into the Senate building, it blew their mind. I had boxes and boxes of material that I had each one make a statement and have it notarized to make sure that what they're saying is the truth and nothing but the truth. But it was huge. And what they did to us, they would not allow us. So what we did, we left it in a mail room and that to make sure that they got it. And whether, you know, and they had an obligation, anything that's sent to the mail room, they have an obligation to take it to the senators at that time. So we were kind of like successful at doing that, which I was more than happy. But it is what it is. You know, you just have to, you know, you just have to do what you do. But Jesse, you keep spreading that word. And I want people to know this stuff is real. And if you don't believe it, that's on you. Because a lot of times most folks don't believe nothing, you know, unless it's happening to them. And that's how they get away with it. But thank you, Jesse, for bringing that information. And people need to know more about that. Listen, we'll talk soon. You have a great day. And happy Martin Luther King Day to you. And take care of yourself.
Thank you, sir.
All right. That was my good friend, Jesse, from Texas, Longhorn State. I'm going to bring in my good friend, the one and only Marcina Cole, and she always got something to say. I can never, ever give her enough time. If I gave her 3 weeks, she'd still say that is not enough time for her. So go ahead and talk to me, Marcina Cole. Talk to me, talk to me, talk to me.
Reverend Pink, now you know that's not true.
The truth is the light.
That
let
is
it shine.
Not true.
Let it shine.
Well, let me just say this, you know, Martin Luther King celebration is tomorrow. That's a good thing. But I have a issue that's going on right now in this global pandemic, 21st century, and a pandemic when it comes down to racism. So we're dealing with multiple pandemics of people of color. And we're being denied right now by white supremacist politicians, by white folks across this country and the world, and basically, you know, denying our rights, our freedom, and justice. And Martin Luther King talked about that. I know if he was alive today, he would be extremely upset. But I want to just say here now, just say one of his quotes, the problem of racism, the problem of economic exploitation, and the problem of war are all tied together. These
yes.
are the triple evils that are interrelated. Martin Luther King. Martin Luther King was beyond his time. And people, like you said, black folks, many of them, ministers or whatever, hated him. And folks do get jealous when you speak truth. There's a lot going on here today with the COVID-19. And the racism that's connected with that, black folks basically is the last to get, you know, their freedom, the last to get justice. And nothing has stopped. You know, we're fighting to vote. We're fighting for health care. We're fighting for jobs, adequate jobs. We're fighting for unemployment benefits that was denied to over 600,000 in state Michigan. They were taken away by the federal government. And guess who it affected the most? Black people and some brown people. So we're dealing with this all the time. You know, nobody cares about us, the bureaucrats across the country, particularly in Michigan. They make mistakes and they're making excuses to get people of color off the unemployment benefits. They have no way to feed their families. They're getting evicted. So we have this, you know, systemic racism that's going on in the country, not just in the state of Michigan, but everywhere. And they're not addressing mm-hmm. it. We deal with so much, it's causing an increase of mental illness with COVID-19 all over this country. People have been affected, millions of people have been affected by COVID. And almost a million people had died from COVID in the United States. Now, we have to remember that a lot of numbers have not been counted, people who have died. Initially, black folks were the one dying the most. Now we got these white supremacists, they're dying and all this. But COVID affects many of us, but we're the ones is suffering the most. You know, I have family members right now have COVID. My granddaughter have COVID. I can go on and on with that. And we don't have the health care, that there's disparity in health care. So what do? They do nothing. They tell you to quarantine, you know, go back to sleep. You might not wake up. We're dealing with a situation with racism in the prison system. And we know there's a high percentage of prisoners in Michigan have contracted COVID. Many of them had contracted COVID. It was a large percentage, over 800 people, prison inmates. In 1,000 inmates, you got 890-something inmates who contracted COVID. That's a real high percentage. And not just Michigan, but all over this country where there's been racial disparity with the prisoners. Majority of the prisoners are black folks.
Yeah.
You know, and the population is overcrowded, and you got them stacked like sardines, and we're dealing with a pandemic, and you put these people, the prisoners, in the prisons, and they lack the medical care for them and mental care, and what do? They do absolutely nothing. I give this the prison system across this country an F. What they're doing with the people. And so basically it was a haven, an epidemic in proportions, and having these inmates go in the prisons and knowing they was not going to make sure they were going to cut down on COVID-19 cases. It was just, basically it just spread it like a wildfire. And it's still going on today. So that's part of the racism going on. A lot of people don't talk about it because it might not affect them because they've never been in prison or their relatives or whatever. But people must understand that we are suffering more than any other race in this country. We're being attacked from front to back to the side. You know,
that's because we're at war. There's a war going on.
We're
just
at war. We're definitely at war. We've had a civil war, and now we're going to have a second civil war. Okay, they
ain't gonna have no bullets.
The government.
When the second civil war comes, we ain't gonna have no bullets. We use up all the bullets on each other.
Right. So they know it's coming. I mean, you got these politicians that supported insurrection January 6th, and no matter where we go, we being attacked. We're being attacked, Reverend Pinkney. We black workers, you know, they out here trying to work. Some of them that went back to work. We actually have a very high rate when it comes down to employment. And some people lost their jobs due to the global pandemic. So it's unfortunate. Well, we're dealing with economic inequality, racism. I mean, how much more you think a black person, you know, and they stepping on these white folks stepping on our necks? I mean, how long they it's going to take the people to realize that they're killing us? And so, what can we do about it? Well, the system don't give a darn, and they're taking away your benefits and taking away a good job. The only job they got out there is labor job, working like a slave, want you to come in when you got COVID symptoms, and they spread, and so they got a workplace basically that has transmittable infectious diseases that spread it among the workers. Then they can't come, they're too sick to come to work, then they fire. So this is what we deal with in this country. you know, it's unfortunate that the federal government, when it came down to unemployment benefits, was basically shared by the state. They supposed to have been distributing people, and basically they target black folks not to get unemployment benefits, claiming that they, you know, lied when they filed and all this kind of stuff. You do everything you could as far as the certification every 2 weeks for unemployment. Then they find some cocky reason, you know, no, this is not right. You owe over $10,000. Now, how the heck over 600,000 folks in the state of Michigan owe over $10,000 for money they claim they got wrong? First of all, the state, it wasn't their money in the first place. It was federal money. Already know, Reverend Pinkney, we got billions of dollars that's left over that have not been spent in the state of Michigan. What are they going to do with that money?
Spend it up
about
among
that,
the family.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They,
when they make mistakes, when they steal or whatever.
Among their family, what they always
yep.
do, they steal all the darn money. You go, you take a pack of gum, you go into prison if you black. You Mexican, if you go, you take a pack of gum, you go into prison. And they steal millions and millions of dollars and nothing to say. And then they live high on the hog. And then you can't complain about nothing. You see, but some of this is our fault too. We don't do nothing but talk. All we do is sit around here and talk. And these white devils, what they do, they do the same thing over and over again, knowing we're not going to do nothing. They'll give a couple of us a couple of dollars, and then they'll fight against us, and that's how you have that all that in-house fight, which is ridiculous.
It's a lot of that where we don't care about each other, and, you know, we're just destroying the planet. And nobody thinks about that with the climate change that's going on. It's freezing out there, you know, tornadoes and hurricanes and everything that's out there that points to that we need to do something about the earth. Nobody cares about that. All they want to do is kill each other. And black folks, white folks got the, you know, assault weapons. But then they want to talk about, you know, Martin Luther King and what he stood for. But he didn't stand for that. He stood for peace.
Yeah.
He didn't care for nobody.
But here's the thing, even more important than that. Black people didn't like Martin Luther King, not until he got killed. Black folks love dead folks. When you dead, you're a hero to them. You go to a funeral, it be packed. People come to funerals, they don't even know the person that got killed. All kind of stuff. Black folks, they love dead folks. When they dead, they love them.
That's right. And I don't understand that, you know, how they do go rush to these funerals. You know, I want to miss my own funeral, you know what I mean? But, people do, a lot of black folks do like to go to funerals. But right now, we're in this pandemic, and there is no mandate for us, you know, no lockdown. It's all political.
Mm-hmm.
And so the economy ain't too much. The economy is not all that great. It's great for millionaires and billionaires because they profited from COVID-19. But the little person is not. We're suffering the most. And we catching
Absolutely.
This. If the numbers are going up with the COVID, and basically you can see the racism that's basically targeting us, you know. When you got so many people out here that's suffering and don't have a place to live, nor job, or food on the table. So we continue to fight by ourselves. We have to basically look out for each other because definitely our health depends on it. And that's why I called my group Ukraine. Reclaim your right to health. And this is prior to the COVID-19 when my son was killed by Beaumont Hospital in Royal Oak. And I pointed out before the COVID about the racial disparity in health and medical care. And I didn't foresee about COVID-19. It's worse than ever before across this world globally. Over 200-something million people across the world have contracted COVID-19.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, I know I talked about the United States. I want to say this. I have to just share this. In China, and there are some African people live there, black African people living there, and they dealing with racism there.
Yeah.
You know, they feel they don't belong there because they, you know, can't be involved in their culture and all that. So while we fighting for Asian rights and all this stuff, but were they fighting for us? I get that. Nobody should be killing anybody based on race. But they must understand, black folks, we've been dealing with racism for how long?
Yeah.
500 years or whatever. Yeah, we've been dealing with it for
400 years, and we're going to continue, and it's going to be another 400 years. Because these white
right.
brothers, they ain't giving up a Lulu. They not standing up for nothing. But listen, you got about 2 minutes. Say what you got to say, and you got to move on.
Okay, I just want to say what Martin Luther King said about freedom and justice and about racism, about many things that we're dealing right now. I know I won't be here on this earth where I'm actually going to see justice for us. You know, I'm not happy with the escalation of violence among our people, killing each other, and I'm not happy with the white supremacy that continues to rule this country. But we still must continue with faith and look out for each other and love each other and have peace. Put the guns down. Stop the gun violence. Stop killing each other. And listen, remember.
Amen. All right. Listen, we'll talk soon, and you have a wonderful, wonderful day. Talk to you soon. Wow, unbelievable. Who would believe this? Even with this virus, racism is blowing his head off. But, yeah, you know, people talk about how much they love Martin Luther King. They didn't love him the last 2 years of his life. They, matter of fact, they hated his guts. They hated Martin Luther King. I mean, I'm talking about real hate. Jesse Jackson was one of them. Hated Martin Luther King. These guys hated Martin Luther King for no reason, all because he was being successful. And he had a vision. And they didn't want him around. They tried to do everything in their power to eliminate him, but he stood tall. You know, I love his feet. I've been to the mountaintop. You know what I'm saying? And he tell it just like it is. But he told the truth when he said, hey, that this country had written us a bad check. It came back marked insufficient funds. And that is the truth. They had given us a bad check. And that check is still bouncing. And black folks still kissing up to them. And that, you know, one of the things I learned all through history is that if you can't take it, you're not going to get it. They got us so busy shooting up each other. If we do have a civil war, we're going to be out of bullets. We ain't going to have no bullets to fight because we're so busy shooting up each other. And like on New Year's Eve, they was out celebrating like they had won the war or something. All that stupid stuff that we do. And then we cry like babies because these white folks ain't gonna eat. They going to keep their foot on your neck. Look at the courthouse. Look at the courthouse. Look what they have done to our community. They had a guy down here planting drugs on people. Over 300 people planting drugs on. This guy, he had a whole locker, a police officer, with a whole locker full of drugs, cocaine, heroin, even had a little marijuana in there. And this guy, they gave him 10 months, and everybody else that he arrested, they got 10 years or so. And nobody said a mumbling word. Black folks don't stand up for nothing unless it concerns them directly. Then they want you to drop everything you're doing and help them. What a world we live in. What a world. Black people, stop crying, because I'm not going to let you cry on my shoulder no more. I'm sick and tired of you guys. I'm sick of you. All you do is sit around here and then love the old sellouts trying to act like they somebody. And, you know, I love Minister Farrakhan, but when he called off Jesse Jackson for being a sellout, he got a boy right here in Benton Harbor. This guy, Marcus Muhammad, you better call him up and chew him out because he needs to be chewed out. And I'm calling you out on this. Your boy, Marcus Muhammad, is a straight-up sellout butt kisser. So call him out because This is what's going on. You can't call Jesse out and don't call your people out too. So that's just the way it is. On that note, I'll bring in my good friend from Detroit. We'll hear what he got to say. James, my good friend, and you know, I want to say this before we get started. My Bankole has really been good to us. He gave us a donation, and he's been really on top of it. He came down here and did some things with us, and I really appreciate that. So I wanted you to know ahead of time, James, because he been the man. He came in, he came through. So on that note, tell us what you got to say.
Well, I thank Bangalore for doing that. I really do, because every black radio host should do it, the way they talk about these white people. But I got to ask you something, Reverend. I heard you say you went to D.C.?
Yeah, I went to Washington, D.C. And I took
okay, let me ask you this. When you went, was it open or closed?
Oh, that was years ago. That was 10 years ago.
No. But was the doors open or closed, locked up?
They was open.
Okay. Did Martin Luther King ever go to D.C.? To get that check?
Yeah, he went to one of my...
Okay, now when he went, was it open or closed?
It was open.
Well, my goodness. You know what? You're going to make history. At least you had enough sense to go when they was open. These so-called leaders now, they go when they're closed. Congress is not in the building. When is black folks going to wake up? When they going to wake up?
It's going to be another 400 years.
I'm going to tell you why it's going to be longer than that. Every day, all I hear, every time I talk on one of them shows about this assassination, execution style about this 6-year-old black baby boy, they just hang up on me. And the calls are just as worse. They won't even comment on it, and they know about it. They know about this. Now, you watch. This trial is Thursday this week on the 20th in Warren, Michigan. I tried to get in contact with Court TV. They're not going to cover it. Black radio host, they won't cover it. Now, you have one radio host. I got to give that host credit that allowed me to talk about it. Her name is Brenda Hill. But she only gets one day out of the whole week. She get one day. All the other ones get 5 days a week, and they won't talk about it. But see what they're doing, what they're doing, Pinkney, when they start talking, they want to push it out there. White people don't like you. They don't hate their own people. They hate their own people, too, the black hosts.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Turn to any station. But just listen to how the hosts talk to the callers.
Hey, James. Remember this, black people, they don't like other black people being successful either. I remember, like I was saying earlier, when I quoted Deuteronomy 28, starting with the 15th verse, and they sent me to prison for that, not one single minister stood up and said that what this judge did was wrong because the judge was white. You see, black folks scared of white folks. And after I won, they walk around here looking stupid. They walk around here looking stupid, and when they agree with me, because black folks don't like to see other black folks able to win. They don't like that. They want you to be in the same boat that they're in. They're losers. That's what they are. They are losers, and they know they're losers because they don't have a plan on how to win. So that's why you get different things from different people.
Let me ask you this. I hear every day of the right to vote. But shouldn't we be asking for the right to live first? Because in order to vote, you got to be a certain age to vote. But what age do you have to be to live? See, this 6-year-old black baby boy that was killed execution style, he'll never get a chance to vote. Because you didn't have the chance to live. See, these black leaders, they never say, let's get a crime bill like the Asians, because we the ones getting killed. But see, they won't say that. And there's a reason why Al Sharpton won't say that. He come out with a book every 2 or 3 months. Now, you watch this. The George Floyd incident. They only tried the cop that killed him. The other three cops, they said, well, they'll be trial next year. What are they setting up for us? Why did they trial all them cops at the same time? Like they just did these three white men in Georgia. They tried all of them at the same time. So you got to pay attention. With this. I'm willing to bet as we get closer to that May, that court date, they might pass that George Floyd bill just to make everybody black happy. But
that,
they still won't have a right to leave all black folks.
Hey,
you got to have a right to leave first.
They're never going to pass that George Floyd bill, the John Lewis bill. They're not going to do it. Those are not going to ever
Reverend Pink, and I believe you too, because what we need to do, it'll never change until we as black folks speak for ourselves. We got to start speaking for ourselves. But see, that's how they got control of the blacks. They come on the radio every day. White folks don't like you. Well, hell, black folks don't like them. Don't like you either.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because you name how many, name one white person that sold their race out to a black man. Name them.
How many blacks have sold out to the white man? Here's another thing white folks do. White folks sit around and lie together. Let me give you an example. We had this lady, Sharon Tyler. She was a clerk. She testified during my trial, and they knew she was lying. She'd been knowing this lady for 15 years and been in the parade with her. She goes to their restaurants together, and they knew that this lady was lying, but they justified her lying, you see? But black people ain't going to stand up and help nobody. The first thing a black person says, what I'm going to get out of it. If I'm not going to get nothing out of it, I'm not going to do it. Black folks is not going to do nothing unless they can get something out of it. And that's why we in this compromising position that we in today. We are pitiful.
You're right.
It's going to take us another 400 years. It's going to take us another 400 years just to get where we at today. We ain't nowhere today.
But Reverend Pinckney, if you go to work, if you got a 9-to-5 job, and you go to work, and you don't do your job, don't you get fired?
Absolutely.
Okay, black folks, when are they going to wake up and fire these black sellouts? You have to fire them. They work for you.
Yeah,
and
I agree.
And look at the boat you're in. You're still in the boat with two holes in it, out in the middle of the ocean.
Yeah.
They don't see it. You got to ask for the right to live. The hell with the right to vote. Because when you get old enough, then you can vote. I know some black folks out there listen to your show. They ain't gonna call in. I know they hear me.
No.
I would like to know what age you got to be to have the right to live first.
Right.
I would like
That's
to know what
question.
Age you got to be.
That's a
because
huge question.
I would rather live first and then vote first.
Yeah.
You can't vote.
Absolutely.
You're 6 years old.
So, you know, like Martin Luther King said, that you know you got people in Mississippi who can't vote, and you got people in New York who can vote, but don't have a reason to vote. So you know we all messed up. They black folks are so messed. And here's another. Let me tell you about this Biden. He going around talking about he got our back. He ain't got our back yet. He done wrote us a check that says came back insufficient funds. Ain't no funds in his bank account for this thing. And we accept that thing. We accept everything white folks do.
Well, you know what? Maybe that's why Al Sharpton go to D.C. when it's closed. No, they don't worry. You can't get a trip if they close.
Yeah.
He got to know it. I tell you what, Reverend Pinckney, I bet there's one place he go that's open, and that's to the hair salon to get that finger wave freshen up.
That hair salon is
open.
Yeah.
See, we got to start speaking for ourselves. Then we can get some. See, this is by design. You look at all black neighborhoods, all these vacant houses. See, the Chinese people bought that out 6-7 years ago, and they left it vacant. Now, your neighbors used to be your power. You could talk to your neighbors and get something done because they live just like you. But your new friends nowadays is your new enemy, which is your own black radio host. Because you've been talking to these radio hosts from day one and ain't solved one problem yet. Not one problem. Let me ask you this. How many Asians or Korean, whatever you want to call them, West Indians, Arabs, Chaldeans, call the radio show and talk about their problems. That's my whole point. Black folks, you talk all day from 6 in the morning to 11
That's all
night.
They do is talk.
That's all,
black,
your
that's all black people
that's
do. Black people, that's all they don't know how to do nothing but talk. They don't know how to stand up for nothing. They don't know how to stand up for their children. They don't know how to stand up for nothing. All they do is talk, talk, talk. It ain't going to bust a grape.
You're right.
They ain't gonna bust a grape.
Now
know?
Watch this.
And
all of these all of these Afghanistan people they brought over here, where do they live at? They don't live in the black poor neighborhoods. And the black radio hosts won't even address that to their own people.
No.
They live in
and
better than the black in this country. Right.
And look,
they're better than the black.
Off now than we are. We've been here 400 years, and they better off than we are.
You know what, though? Tell me this. When they get through, do you think these foreigners are going to get back behind the black race in this country and give it up?
Absolutely
Blacks
not.
Still going to be at the end.
Oh, yeah. And
there's no future for black.
Yeah.
There's no future for black kids in this country because they own everything in the black neighborhood. They don't even live in the black neighborhood. And they done took the city of Detroit. Now watch this. And they tell me, January 6th, black folks, that's not your fight. That's white-on-white crime. Stay out of that. But see, it's the black radio host pushing that to turn you against white people. But they tell the truth on the blacks that's against blacks. You see what I'm saying? We should have our agenda. At least Reverend Pinckney went when the PC was open. He did not say, well, let's go. And they're going to be on vacation. Everybody get on the bus, free food and free room and board. See, that's what that black folks messed up. They went to eat and go to sleep.
There you go. And
at
say,
least,
and
you know, you made
there.
History. You really made history. I never knew you went to D.C. and the door was open.
It was open. They
more power to you, Pinckney. But I want to say this about that trial coming up on Thursday the 20th. And I'm willing to bet you right now. And they're listening. Going to be one black radio host talk about that trial on the 20th, which is Thursday of this week. Like every time I talk to a host, the first thing they say, oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
They knew. They were just told not to talk about it. Watch this. Haitians, when they was at that border in Texas, black radio hosts talk about that. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Friday, they play golf on the radio all day long. See, black folks can't get 5 days for coverage. The whole day they just play golf. I mean, that's a shame. So when they talk about we got power, like Sam was saying, let's tell our story. Sam said, we don't own the station. If we don't own it, that was for him too. Sam, you don't own it. You just own it. So who's controlling these black radio hosts? It's a white radio station owner. They don't own the station. They ain't for their own people.
And that's why we're in this position we're in today. We got all these folks, like you said, be calling in. And they're not going to even bust a grape. They're not going to do nothing. All they're going to do is walk around and complain. And that's what they want us to do. As long as we are complaining,
they're
all happy. Yeah. And look, the first thing
that
they should be doing is dealing with our children. That's who they should be dealing with. If you're not dealing with our children, you're not setting the foundation up for the future of our children. Because that's who you what you need to do. You need to deal with the educational system, and you need to deal with the justice system. And on that note, James, we have just about ran out of time. And
I thank you.
We'll see you next week. Next week, same time.
At least you went when Congress was in the building.
Amen. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay.
You said the magic
Goodbye.
Word. All right. And we'll talk soon. And listen, everybody. Happy, happy Martin Luther King Day. And I know there's a lot of people out there love Martin Luther King now, but they didn't love him before he died. So those people who are out there, care your business and be safe. And here's, I want to leave you with this. People run in packs because they don't feel safe alone. I run alone because I don't feel safe in a pack. Because you can't trust my black brothers and sisters to do what's right. On that note, Martin Luther King, it's going down. Don't worry about what they say and what they do. Worry about what you do and what you say. On that note, We'll talk soon, next week, same time, same station.